What's up, ladies and gentlemen? You now entering the Daily Wave, hosted by Mr. Christopher Green himself. On me, I'm just a fellow truth speaker. I go by the name of Doctrine. Welcome to the Daily Wave, starring Christopher Green, alternative media king.
Taking your calls, hard-hitting and in-your-face, as usual. Let's go to a 714 area code next. 714, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Chris, can you hear me?
Can, yeah. How are you?
Hi. This is Jay. I'm out in California. Anyways, my sister who came in from Scottsdale she was the one that informed me that you guys didn't have Arizona. You guys didn't have a time change over the weekend. It just blew my mind that after so many years that I never knew that. So, but anyways, I wanted to talk about something else besides prior to any discussion of the election and that. And no one's really discussing about this, but I don't know if anybody actually read the article that was posted on Yahoo about the import and export exchange in Iran.
You know, I didn't see that, so that was out today.
Okay, so what happened was that Iran is actually basically, from my understanding from the article, is they're not going to be doing any exporting of common goods, you know, spices, grains, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the one thing that was really interesting about this article is that on the bottom of it, and it was very short, and it said, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Maersk Line Shipping, the world's largest shipping carrier. Do you know anything about them?
I've heard of them. I'm not sure on the pronunciation, though, to be honest. So
they're a company based in they're a Danish company, but they had claimed that they will no longer they will be pulling out all export and import at the end of this month. Now, to me, that raises a really big red flag. So whoever gets into office, it doesn't matter. I think our focus needs to be on what is to become, not in the moment, not. It's almost a clear indication to me that we're facing wartime, you know, once again. I just question the reason why would the world's largest shipping carrier pull business from an entire country like that?
Wow.
Unless they knew something was up.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're preparing for war. That's the answer to the question. I mean, all of these sanctions that were implemented months ago, we've been talking about this a lot. Really, I've talked about this for the last few years. I mean, warning, all the red flags are going off. I mean, I knew in 2008, we could even argue as far back as 2001, but especially in 2008, markets crashed. I knew it. I looked at all my friends and family. It was like a big war is coming. And, that we'll be living through that. So it's unfortunate because no matter who gets in as president, we're going to have a wartime president. And, you know, the American people do have a tendency to get behind a war. It'll be really interesting to see how this turns out. I mean, even if you dislike the president and you're like, oh, I hate that guy's politics. Like, well, we're at war, so I'm going to get behind him and the cause.
Well, I heard Joe Biden say yesterday that the reason why people should vote for Barack Obama is because he ended the Iraq War.
Yeah, I heard that. Caller, any other thoughts? I don't know if you're still there.
Oh, no, I just thought, because I've been awake for quite some time, you know, and, you know, being a child of the 90s, I followed Bill Hicks and George Carlin and, you know, really listened to what they said. So I was kind of awake even before 9/11 and that. But this last article that I read was kind of a clear indication because it's not only you know, it's inevitable, but this is almost like, why would they start pulling out? Why would they stop pulling business from a country in general? So this is telling me something's up, and they said that they're not going to be importing or exporting or porting in general in any ports in Iran, and they will pull all of their shipping vessels by the end of November. So wanted to see what your opinions were on that, and I'll listen to the rest of your show offline, okay?
All right, well, thanks for calling in. And Vinny Eastwood, by the way, is here. Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Show has been gracious enough to here on our program. I'll be on his program right after this, kind of doing a marathon today, so make sure to tune in. You can stay right in the chat or you can go over to Vinny's. Vinny, did you donate to the Obama campaign this year?
I think I sent him some cyanide in a litter.
That's bad. So what are your thoughts, man? You're out here. You're out there in New Zealand. What is the New Zealander perspective? Are people talking about this today? Are they rooting for Obama?
Nah, man. I mean, look. I posted my Facebook status, right? And I said, okay, it's gambling time. Who's going to win the U.S. election? One, Obama. Two, Romney. Three, the banks. Or four, anybody who's being truthful. And of course, the answer is number three, the banks. Every single time.
Yeah, the banks.
Why exactly is there even any debate? You know, it's pure distraction. Hey, there's some guys who allegedly run the country. They don't run nothing.
They're taking
right?
Over.
No more than the janitor runs the school. Look, there's this guy cleaning and mopping up after it, getting paid minimum wage by comparison to the principal. And the principal's still a slave to the frickin' education board. And the education board's still a slave to the government, still a slave to the banks, you know? It's the one-step, two-step, three-step program. You simply cannot escape from the fact that these people mean nothing. You know, as I said, man, the outcome of this year's American Idol will be more significant in order to change U.S. policy in the presidential race.
That's a pretty good analogy. I like the janitor analogy as well. In fact, I'm going to start kind of referring it, you know, janitor Obama, janitor Rump.
No. Or it could be janitor Napolitano.
Mr. Janitor Napolitano. Well, here, I'm going to go back to some calls here, and you weigh in on all the action here, Vinny. Let's go to Tim. He's a regular. I haven't heard from him in a while. Hey, Tim, you're on the air.
What's up, Chris?
What's up?
Man, I haven't talked to you in ages, man.
It's good to hear your voice. So, you're in D.C. You're in the heart of all this. Is this a big
man.
Deal? Is there excitement in the air?
To say the least, man. Now, I'm going to run through this real quick. I've been on the air. I've been kind of getting some personal things done. All this thing is social engineering at its best. I mean, regardless of how you put it, that's what politics is. All this election is engineering. And what I tell people, if you don't know what it is, social engineering is when the higher up forces you to pick a side. They don't care what side you pick. Then whatever side you pick, you will form an allegiance to. You will defend it. You will fight for whatever. And there will always be opposition to that. And once you get opposition, and it's just like George Collins says, the people, they focus on your differences, have you fighting with each other while the rich run off with all the money. That's social engineering. That's what George Collins was talking about. Have you ever heard of this called the Committee of 300?
Repeat that? I'm not sure.
The committee of 300, otherwise known as the Club of Rome, isn't it?
Right, the conspirators' hierarchy. I had this book for like 12 years. I'm gonna read a piece that was quoted from H.G. Wells, and then check what coincides to everything today, even this election. And check this piece. They say, we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed. Our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. Whatever attitude one chooses to take towards this condition, it remains a fact that in almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the spirit of politics or business, our social conduct or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by a relatively small number of persons, a trifling fraction of our 120 million. Who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wire which control the public mind and who harness old social forces and contrive new ways to bind and guide the world. That's deep.
Yeah, and who are these? I get asked that question all the time.
It is largely there's so many organizations. The Tavistock Institute for Human Relations, which was created by Club of Rome, they all run together with the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Council on Foreign Relations. They have think tanks like the Brookings Institute, the Heritage Foundation. All these, there are so many facets of organizations you can choose from. It doesn't matter. It comes from all angles.
It really does. I get sick, my girlfriend makes me Tavistock soup to get better.
You say what?
I was saying, when I get a cold, my girlfriend makes me some Tavistock soup.
That's the Vinny I know. you gotta throw some humor up in there, Vinny.
Now maybe it's like Martians or something. Maybe those are the men behind the veil. You know, they're from another planet, and they're just, you know, playing us as pawns.
Well, this thing is so deep because these people deal with the occult, and these people are Luciferians. And I always tell people, this thing is deeper than we can ever imagine. We're dealing with some forces that, I mean, if you really don't understand and you don't study who these people are, you never have a clue. And some people don't even, like I said, we talked about this before, some people don't even want to know. Anything that's in front of their face that they can see, that's what they would deal with, and no, nothing more.
It disrupts their day-to-day, and more importantly, comfort. And, you know, people want comfort. I don't blame people. You know, they want to be comfortable, but comfort comes at a cost. And that's why I always say, you know, the great majority of people, they don't want to be free, because freedom comes with a cost. It comes with a sacrifice. And, you know, not only do we have to be the check, that's why we've got checks and balances. That's why the Republic was set up this way in the first place. You know, that's why we have things like the Constitution. But, Benny, weigh in on this. You know, what's your perspective? You got the international perspective here.
Well, it's the exact same thing here and the exact same thing in Britain. You get some douchebag who comes up there and he starts preaching the stuff like, we want to save your jobs, we want to save the economy. Meanwhile, he's funded by the same banks that actually stole your jobs, outsourced them, and destroyed your economy. And then when he gets in, he says, oh, I'm sorry, I can't actually keep all those promises that I made to you, lies that I made to you, sorry. and now what we need to do is depress the economy in order to save it. That's basically the perspective we get here, you know? And I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I'm holding my head right now because I'm getting an absolute freaking headache and like I'm gonna vomit because I've just got all this betrayed rage bubbling up in me like some kind of volcanic acid pit threatening to spew forth with tirades of FCC beeping language at just how angry I am. Not necessarily because we've got scumbags engaging in scumbaggery and ruling our countries, but that people believe them.
Well,
again.
Yeah. And I kind of lost my train of thought there for a moment, but it's starting to come back to me here a little bit. You know, people don't want to be free. They want to be controlled. A good amount of the masses. They want the controls in place. That goes along with being comfortable and having the comfort. They say, oh yeah, freedom. It sounds like a good idea. But at the end of the day, do they really want to be free? And comes with a cost. What do you think, Tim?
Well, it's a thin line between freedom and privileges. And people get privileges mixed up with freedom. And there goes your dilemma right there. We allowed ourselves to be bought off. I was reading a quote from David Rockefeller yesterday, and I heard about it before when he was thanking the Washington Post, the Time Magazine, and all these other publications for keeping their name and their agenda out of their media. So now people are, they are so conditioned now to, they're ready to accept the New World Order. And it's like, but when you explain that to people, they like, well, you can't believe everything you hear. I'm like, come on, man. They've been telling us this since the 50s and 60s. They've been putting it in our face. But if Vinny put it right, people are believing the official story. They're believing what the politicians tell them. I'm like, wow. I'm not mad at the bankers. I'm not mad at the government. It's the people who I am more upset with. You understand what I mean?
I mean, I wake you a lot of the time. It's like, wake up, people. You know,
bankers do what bankers do.
I don't know, guys. I'm not necessarily angry at the people. I'm angry at the situation, because that's like being angry at the sheep that they don't escape the farm when they've got dogs and farmers and tractors and trailers all around them and that are stuck in a corral. People didn't have much of a choice in this. Like you said, man, social engineering. We were made to be this way. And I believe we can be unmade in the same way.
Well, it's kind of like the whole quotation. You say, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. You know, can't fool me again, you know, George Bush, you know. But that's what the whole thing is. Every 4 years, it's the same thing. And people know how the game is played, but they still go with this. I'm like, when are you going to wake up?
Well, so look at the election. It's like we're still playing the game of the election. I mean, seriously? And that's the thing. They're, you know, the people, the bankers are not even in the picture. The collapse isn't even in the picture. I kind of take that back. I mean, people are concerned. I mean, the people I talk to, I mean, they're really nervous. You know, what happens next? Is it going to be Obama again? Is it Romney? And what I've noticed, too, is people seem to have a definitive plan based on who wins. You know, as I mentioned earlier on the air today, I've got people that say if Obama wins, they're going to cash and they're going to wait out the storm. I've got other people say if Obama wins, it's guns, ammo, and, you know, we're moving out to the woods if you're not already there. You know, I've got other people say, well, if Romney wins, you know, I think we'll get a little bit more time. We'll get a short-term pop in the markets. It'll be a little better. So that's not good either. Tim, thanks for calling, man. We're going to go to the rest of the calls when we get back. I'm here with Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Show. Very contentious day, historic 2012 presidential election. We'll be right back. We are back. I am Christopher Green here with Vinny Eastwood, taking your calls from around the world. You know, I'm staring at this picture with President Obama and tears are in his eyes. And I'm just thinking about, you know, whoever gets elected or reelected, I just expect the tears. You know, it's going to be so tearful. It's such an amazing experience on the road to tyranny. Let's go to our... We'll go to our call lines here in a moment. Again, our number is 218-339-8525. See, we actually got a lot of people in the chat today. We got Esser Superstar. We've got Canadian Colin. We've got The Threat Is Real. We've got Dutchie. Howdy. Vinny, you look perplexed.
just messing around with stuff on here, trying to find the old Green Wave chat so I can get in there. And I was just thinking about this, like, Obama comes out and he starts crying. You know, you ever heard the term crocodile tears?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even though the crocodile is wounded and crying and stuff like that, you come over and you try to pet him and you go, it's all better. Run! You eat you. And that's what's going on here, man. It's just... Yeah, you kind of wonder what's the mentality behind these people, and you understand very quickly that they're not regular people. Regular people have a conscience. Regular people like to tell the truth. Regular people like to tell the stories about themselves.
You ask Obama about his birth certificate? Nah, didn't want to tell you. You ask Obama about his college? Nah, didn't want to tell you. Ask Obama about pretty much anything in his past? Nah, didn't want to tell you. And you got to wonder, is that who you want to have his hand on the nuclear button? A guy who literally will not tell you who the hell he is.
Yeah, well, you know, people will say, the Democrats will say, you know, how dare you question the authenticity of our king, President Barack Obama? I mean, yeah, we should have an answer to that. We should have a more definitive answer. But, you know, they'll make it into a racist thing. I mean, honestly, they make it into that. It's like, well, you know, he's black, and you wouldn't do this to George W. Bush. So this is racist. I mean, that's honestly, and then it gets all low-browed, and it becomes a race issue, and then everybody gets scared to talk about it. I mean, that's what I see half the time.
I don't know. It's just, I've been saying this for the last couple of days. To be honest, Chris, I'm so sick of talking about the election, okay? And I don't like any elections for that matter. It doesn't matter whether they're happening here or there or anywhere. It's the same kind of crap. You can either get angry, depressed, or apathetic. And frankly, the apathy party seems to be, you know, winning by a landslide nowadays because people just don't care anymore.
Yeah, so let me ask you then, you know, looking past the election, I mean, what do you see? There's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, I think a lot of Americans, a lot of people around the world, you know, New Zealanders are probably going like, what's next? I mean, what do you see, Vinny?
I see a continuation of the exact same agenda. Destroy the economy, outsource the jobs, destroy the sovereignty of the United States, take away people's individuals' liberties and rights, squeeze jobs together, socialize the economy by giving more banker bailouts, contaminate the country with Monsanto stuff that's been approved by people who used to work for Monsanto who are now on the revolving door of the FDA, put more vaccines out to people, use healthcare as an excuse to kill the elderly and informed or the Untermenschen, the German word for unworthy life. I just see tyranny, Chris, everywhere I look. And we're heading down this road, and we know where it stops. It stops when all our hearts stop beating, once they've killed us all. And that's probably the one thing that really offends me mostly about the elections, is that these people aren't coming out and saying, vote for me, I'll exterminate you. I mean, maybe... I would love to see that, actually.
Okay, you know, you made a good point about, you know, it's tough to get mad at the people if they're being herded against their will and they don't really know what's going on. But I tell you what, if these politicians start running on, hey, vote for me, I'll kill you, and they're still voting them in, then I think we have every right to be quite pissed off at the flock.
Yeah. And again, this is the whole thing. Have you ever heard people call people slaves, sheep, that kind of thing? It's a negative connotation, and incidentally, that's what the elite call us, all of us. They call us slaves and sheep, and now you've got truthers out there who are fighting against the elite, calling the people who are slaves just like them, slaves and sheep. You understand? There's a frickin' disconnect here. You know what I'm saying? We're all attacking each other just like they want us to. We're playing into their hands when we do that to a large degree. And, you know, you've got to have a look at the blame. Okay, so did the guy down the road at the grocery store, who's a slave who won't listen to you about 9/11 inside job, did he participate in the banker bailout? Did he cast a vote in order to bail out the bankers? No. So what's he directly to blame for? Nothing. He's a slave. Okay? Just like if you have a look at that movie 300. And the army of the god king Xerxes, and he had like a million slaves or whatever. They were fearing their master's whips just as much as they were fearing their enemy's spears. It ain't their fault that they were slaves. They didn't really have much of a choice in the matter. That's what being a slave really is. We don't have much of a choice. I say to people, look, I'm a slave. And they say, no, Vinny, but you're doing this, that, and the other. And it's like, yeah, but I'm still paying rent. I'm still buying gas off the Rockefeller energy cartels. I'm still buying food out of the supermarket chains that stock Monsanto products 6 ways from Sunday. And if you emptied out all the poisons and toxic foods out of the supermarket, there'd be like three or four frickin' products left. I'm still a slave. Until we're all free, we're all slaves. And you can't, there's no one way or the other about it. It's simply that. We all got to pull together on this one. But, and again, I've got a problem with people pulling together as well, ironically, because that makes us so much easier to be prone to infighting and attacking each other and saying, he said, she said, blah, 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 all this BS, right? So if you've got all the people together, what's going to happen? Hey, their leader will simply have his head cut off, like the head of the snake, and the movement underneath him will die.
Yeah, well, you know,
all of us have got to get out there of our own accord and do what we think is right and be an example to those around us, okay? And it's like, Vinny, how do you wake up humanity? Well, firstly, you've got to wake up yourself and then go out and do what an awake person does. Because I can guarantee you the only reason why you're quote-unquote awake is because you saw stuff that was really, really terrible and you woke up to it and you went out and you started doing something about it. And half the people that see you going out and doing something about it, man, oh, man, maybe I should wake up and go doing something myself. And they do. It's a never-ending free flow of a waterfall of truth and love and liberty and exposing scumbaggery that we're all involved in now. And... frankly, you've got to have real faith, you know, whether that be in some higher power or faith in yourself. It makes no never mind. Have some faith that we're going to win because if you don't, what alternative really is there?
Well, there's not a good one. And what I was going to say, too, and that, you know, I think what you're saying, I mean, these are great points. I don't see that we need to necessarily get the herd together and be like, hey, look, we're a target. You know, come and attack us now. I think what we need to do is we don't need to necessarily physically make ourselves a target, but we need to act in unison, even if that movement is decentralized. You know, but if millions of people act in unison and we have a unity in the way that we're behaving, then I do that. That's when I see the system literally shaken to the core. I see it utter, you know, just crumble. I mean, it's over. There's no looking back. But the challenge is, it's like trying to climb Mount Everest and, you know, you haven't even trained for it. It'd be like you and me trying to climb Everest and, you know, we're looking up going like, are you kidding me? Yeah. How are we going to do this? We're going to die on the journey. So, I mean, it's a huge feat, you know, and it's honestly going to take, maybe this is just my opinion. It's going to honestly probably take an act of God almost for this to come together in a very real way where we can get some real meaningful change out of this. And
I had a conversation with somebody last night. She says to me, hey, Vinny, you know how people come up to you all the time and they say, keep up the good work? Mm-hmm. What's that about? What do you mean? Keep up the good work so that you don't have to?
Yeah. I guess there's...
You know, encouragement's encouragement, and encouragement is cool and it's valuable, but rather than telling people who already do something, keep doing what you're doing, how about you start doing something?
Yeah, well, we need that. We need that. And I'm sure a lot of those people that say good work, a lot of them probably are doing something. Some of them I'm sure aren't. And, you know, we all have to be responsible, but I thought you brought up a really interesting point, too, about the disconnect. You know, we're all taking actions and we're withdrawing from the system, but it's tough to completely withdraw. Like you said, I mean, you're still buying gas. And, you know, who owns the those companies? You could even take it and extrapolate it further. I mean, we're breathing the oxygen, you know, that's coming in. Who's influencing that? I mean, it just, how do you completely... you know, disassemble the system and disengage. Aren't we all playing into it a little bit? And I think, you know, if we're going to be real about it, yeah, it's hard to completely get away from it. But I think we should try to do and be as smart about it as we can. We should try. And, you know.
Yeah, let's try things we haven't tried yet. You know, I mean, I've protested, like, I must have gone to 100 protests or something. You know what every single one of those protests accomplished? Nothing. Not a damn thing. The policy continues.
That's why I'm saying we don't need to march in. You know, I think a lot of people even see this now. I mean, do we really need to march in the streets? I mean, it's a good symbol of unity, but you're making yourself a target. And what has it accomplished? So how about a mass movement of withdrawing from the system? I mean, honestly, that's where I see the most change being affected. Your actions, how you handle yourself, the choices you make day to day, the people you support, the businesses you do business with, the people you help, share the message, get it out there, be a good person, and, you know, don't be afraid, too, to let other people help you. You know, help others as much as you can. Let other people help you, too. We're all in this together. I mean, this is just the whole thought. You know, people, they alienate themselves from others, and, you know, they think they're different, you know, and they'll quantify it and say, and they'll categorize it and say, well, you know, you're black, I'm white, I'm Christian, you're a Catholic. You know, I'm a guy, you're a girl. I'm a fan of the Arizona Cardinals. I'm a fan of the, I mean, we all try to, you know, fit so we can identify, but we're all the same. People are all the same. And man, we just need a little more humanity.
I would say that's the case. And to those people who say to me or you, keep up the good work, it's not like I'm offended or I don't like that or anything like that. I do love it, and quite frankly, I wouldn't be able to survive without it. And this is just a question that was asked to me by a friend of mine last night, as I said, and I've just been kind of mulling it over. And I was just thinking, have I ever gone to somebody and said, keep up the good work? It's like, no, I haven't.
Well,
I haven't ever done that. I've gone up to people who are doing good work and said, hey, can I help you by bringing you on my radio show? And then bring them on the radio show and they get helped, right? Keeping up the good work, for me, is a literal doing thing. It's not just a talking thing. And I would love to see a lot more of that type of mentality that I've got coming out in the general public. Like a friend of mine, John Eisen, he was asking a friend of his, hey, man, can I help you? Can I put an article in my magazine for you? Can I put an advertisement for your magazine in my magazine kind of thing? For free, I'll do it. You just type this up for me or whatever. And then he never got back to me. He was really upset about it. And I said, dude, do you realize how busy he is? Why don't you just put a frickin' thing in your magazine? Okay. Cool. And he put the thing in his magazine. And he helped the guy without that guy needing to do any work. Yeah. That's what it really should be about, man. You do for other people what they simply don't have the time or the ability to do for themselves. I've got this mentality that, well, basically, you can listen to both sides of every argument, and normally both sides of every argument will be wrong. And then when you interview the other person on the other side of the argument from the first argument that you listened to in the first place, they attack you and call you controlled opposition or something like that. And it's like, well, hold on. I thought balance was being able to swing to both extremes and being able to come back to the center again, right? Now, if we're getting active, and this is what I encourage people to do, if you're getting active, make sure that you're recording what you're doing and you're posting it and that sort of thing. And you'll find out something very interesting. People will show up for you ad infinitum. They will ensure that you are the center of their attention. They will donate to you. They will send you links and guest suggestions and all that sort of stuff, and you'll be sweet as. You're listening to Green Wave Radio with Christopher Green. I'm Vinny Eastwood, and we'll be right back after the break at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
feels dirty, doesn't it?
I'm looking here. It says exit polls race tight. This is, of course, live, broadcasting live around the world. It says Romney, North Carolina, Florida, Obama, Ohio, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada. And the toss-up thus far is Virginia, Colorado, and Iowa. You know, you go on here, you look at some of these stories. It says a voter appears to die, then asks, did I vote? In addition to that, there's a pregnant mom that cast ballot for President Barack Obama while in labor. Some dedication. Thornton, Illinois. Very pregnant Malone. Galicia, kind of an interesting name, was so determined to participate in her first presidential election that she took a few cleansing breaths and put those labor pains right out of her mind until her vote was cast. Cook County Clerk David Orr reports that Malone, 21, started having pains in her back pelvic area around 3 a.m. Tuesday. By the time she drove from her mother's house in Rickton Park, where she stayed last night, to New Life Church Precinct in Thornton, the pains were 5 minutes apart. This is my first baby girl, and I wanted to make a good impression, Malone said. I want to have a story to tell her. So voting for Obama while in labor, I guess it is kind of giving birth to a police state. You know, it's for
everybody get an Obama baby. Everybody in Cleveland, all minority, got Obama babies.
And Obama.
You could be fucking kidding me.
Obama girl. Remember that, her? Remember Obama girl? It was the viral YouTube sensation. You know, she's this really attractive brunette with, you know, she's very attractive, Vinny. And, yeah, she was, you know, she was pretty famous for a while. I mean, video had millions. You can look this stuff up on YouTube. Millions and millions of views. And I'm pretty sure she said it wasn't an endorsement for Obama. I don't know. There was an Obama boy video that came out, actually, this year. It wasn't as successful. Maybe we should do one on Obama babies. You know, kind of do like a baby and then do a, you know, it's like a, you put it together in music and then it's Obama's face, you know, like rapping to the song or something.
Yeah. And then, of course, you can destroy the black communities by putting liquor stores on every calls and basically making your, oh, what would you say? You'd link your food stamps to your marriage so that if you're married and you have a responsible working husband, you cease to get food stamps. So it encourages people to be single and the father to live halfway across the country just so he can pay child support. But if you're lucky,
you'll be able to call him on your Obama phone.
I just the moronity out there. Is moronity even a word, or am I being moronous? Moronicity. Oh, I am. I don't know. But for frack's sake, if you are really, really following the election and you are enthused, getting patriotic, getting excited, and happy about it, you need adult supervision. That or a Thorazine trip, because you are mentally ill. It's just that simple. You're not in touch with reality anymore. You're walking around in a cloud where people are just shadows in the mist. There's nothing real for you.
That's eerie. That's like a movie, you know? Mist and the shadows and the darkness and then the zombies moving to the poles. That's what I see.
I mean, it's practically Lord of the Rings out here. I'm from New Zealand, and you know, I understand. You know, I see the Dark Lord Sauron and his giant tower of Rockefeller Plaza with his giant Masonic all-seeing eye of Lucifer looking down on me, and his gaze pierces cloud and flesh, everything, right? And you kind of comprehend, oh, hold on a second. If there's a giant apparatus, Chris, that's designed to make us stop caring about the elections so that they'll just keep continuing to go, virtually nobody will vote in them or anybody participate or anything of that nature, and then just so that the agenda can continue, because what happens is people will go, oh, I don't like what's going on, so I'm not going to participate. And then the fact that they don't participate, they don't actually stop it. It just keeps on going. And you know, what's even more useful to a political campaign than somebody who will actually vote is somebody who won't give a frack. Somebody who doesn't care about the direction of the country, somebody who would rather just keep their heads down, somebody who would look at anybody who's politically interested and laugh at them for saying, you're so stupid, you believe in the political process, all of that kind of stuff. Those people are really, really handy because they can stop many, many other people from voting. They can stop many, many other people from having political discussions. But they don't stop the agenda. They only help it along by ceasing anybody's resistance to it.
Yeah, there's definitely multiple angles to, you know, to look at that. Tell me about voting in New Zealand. You know, is that a big deal over there?
Well, you know how you got first past the post and it's one scumbag or the other? Well, we've got what's called MMP, Mixed Member Proportional, which basically means you can vote for different parties, right? So we've got in Parliament now, we've got this the Green Party. We've got the National Party, which is the equivalent of the Republicans, and the Labour Party, which is the equivalent of the Democrats, i.e. the Communist versus Fascist Party. And we have New Zealand First, which are kind of a nationalistic, semi-libertarian, semi-socialist type party. They're who I voted for, really. And we have the ACT Party, which is a libertarian party. And we've got United Future and the Alliance. So those are the parties that we've got represented in Parliament, right? But here's how it breaks down. On the left side of the spectrum, we have Labour, who is headed by a guy who used to work for the UN, and Mr. David Shearer. I've had a couple of conversations with David. He's a really nice guy, so he'll probably be able to lie to the people and implement UN agenda, no frickin' problem. And their textbook allies are the Green Party, mm-hmm. who want to bring in carbon tax and wants to instill social justice, i.e. make disciplining your children illegal, and if you ever caught laying a hand on your child in a disciplinary fashion, you can go to jail. On the right wing, false side of the floor, you have the National Party headed by John Key, who's a former Federal Reserve banker, who was in charge of the European bond and derivatives trade for 2 years at the Federal Reserve in New York. He's now implementing policies, selling off our state assets, signing us up to trade deals, and just like NAFTA and GATT and kind of thing, this TPPA thing, same thing, and also signed us up to NATO over the weekend. Not this last weekend, a couple of weekends ago or whatever, you know, just read an article, oh, we're now part of NATO. What? You know, South Pacific country suddenly is part of NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization in the South Pacific. Is anybody seeing a disconnect here? You know? And on his allied side, he's got the ACT Party run by a guy named John Banks, who's the former mayor of Auckland, where I live. And his first, he'll give you an idea of just what kind of a guy this John Banks character is and why he's such a good coalition partner. His first act as mayor of Auckland, wait for it, was to widen his parking space under the town hall so that it could fit his Bentley.
Well, I mean, dude, he's find a, you know, space for it. I mean, what else is the guy supposed to do?
You know what I'm talking about, bro? A friend of mine was even on a train one time. They had these new trains that were being unveiled. He's sitting in a carriage and John Banks has got his entourage. And he comes down, sits to John Banks, and he says, hey, John, you know, why are you promoting all this rail and stuff like that? And he says, well, so that when the roads are clear, I'll be able to drive my Bentley and I won't have to talk to people like you. These are the people running your freaking country. This is what they say in private. They think you are scum and trash and filth and you should deserve all of the enslavement that you get. You know what you should do? It takes something like 17 muscles in your face to have a frown. Oh, I'm so sad I'm being enslaved. But it only takes about 6 or 7 to reach up and bitch slap that mofo upside the head. Okay?
I mean, I think people forget that it actually takes a lot more energy to think of an excuse why you shouldn't do the right thing than it does to actually just do the right thing. All right, and that's what I'll leave you with today, Chris, and your listeners. And we're going to be continuing this conversation after the break, ladies and gentlemen. You can keep continuing to listen to this this stream on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. You can continue to participate there in the Green Wave Radio chat. There is the Vinnie Eastwood Show chat as well. So, Chris, man, thanks for coming on, and we'll see you after the break, I guess, ladies and gentlemen. Like a nice planned debate for you, kind of like a presidential one. Because for goodness sake, when you're working together, you accomplish a lot more than if you're working alone and competing against one another. Your ego is basically something that you can cut in half, combine it with your friends. Together, you make an entity that is greater than the both of you combined. You're listening to Vinnie Eastwood. This is the Green Wave Radio Show, and we will talk to all of you after the break. The caller lines are still open, 218-339-8525. We'll be taking your calls after the break, ladies and gentlemen. See you in a minute. It's times like these you give and give again. It's times like these you learn to love again. It's times like these, time and time again.